Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
CBS Radio again presents the famous Hearthstone of the Death Squad, implacable manhunter of the Metropolitan Police, in one of his greatest investigations, entitled The Unheeded Warning Murder Case, with Ronald Long as Elliot Lindsay and Florence Williams as Della Parker. Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad in the Unheeded Warning Murder Case. The scene opens in the front office of the Lindsay Messenger Service, whose business is the delivery of messages and small parcels. A pretty girl is seated at a desk. She looks up, surprised, as the door opens, and a young man, obviously excited, enters. The girl is Della Parker. The young man is Phil Richards, a newspaper reporter, Della's fiancé. And we hear Della say the words that lead to violence and murder.
Oh, Phil, this is a surprise. What are you doing here?
Della, quick, put on your hat. You've got to get out of this place.
Oh, you sound as dramatic as one of your stories in the paper, Phil.
I've come to warn you, Della.
Well, all right, I'm warned, but what about?
Hurry, Della. I'll tell you on the way out.
Oh, you sound awfully silly, Phil, but I love you anyway.
Della, please be serious. You're in real danger here.
What on earth are you talking about?
This place. The Lindsay Messenger Service isn't what you think it is.
Are you trying to kid me, Phil?
Certainly I'm not. This place isn't a messenger service at all. It's the front for one of the worst criminal operations in New York.
But don't be silly.
My city editor, Martin Bayer, just gave me the lowdown on what goes on in this place.
What goes on here?
He's ready to blow the whole dirty business wide open, and when he does, one of the biggest stories of crime and murder the paper has ever printed will flash across the front page and rock the town.
Oh, Phil, you talk like a scene from a 10-20-30 melodrama.
All right, don't listen to me, Della. Treat me like an idiot, but whatever you do, come with me. Now, quit this job. Get away from this place before something happens to you.
If you think I'm going to give up a job paying $100 a week because of some wild idea born in a newspaper office, well, I won't do it. It's stupid. If you want to know, I'm going to keep this job until long after we're married.
It's no wild idea, and Martin Bayard is not the kind of city editor who chases rainbows. I order you, Della, to leave here now.
You order me, do you? Well, you can't order me to do anything.
I didn't know I was marrying a fool. But don't say I didn't warn you. What a stubborn imbecile you are. Goodbye.
Trouble is, you've been reading too many detective stories. Guess he didn't hear that. Anyway, nothing's happened that a kiss won't cure tonight.
Hi, beautiful. Where's your boss?
If you mean Mr. Lindsay, he's in his office. And don't call me beautiful. Who shall I tell Mr. Lindsay wants to see him?
You're telling him nothing, baby. I'm going in there. That's his door, ain't it?
But you can't see Mr. Lindsay without being announced.
No, get out of my way. I'm going in. You stay right here, kid. Well, Lindsay.
Who are you? And what's your business?
So you don't know Bash Cagle, eh? Try something new, Lindsay.
I repeat, I don't know you.
Well, we're going to get acquainted fast, Lindsay. I'm the Bash Cagle you're trying to throw to the cops. And I just dropped by to tell you. One more chirp and I'll kill you.
I've got my foot on an alarm bell that'll bring everybody in the office here. Now get this. Bash Cagle, if that's your name. I don't know you. I've never seen you. You've got the wrong idea somewhere.
Any more of that, Lindsay, and I'll kill you right now.
When I mentioned the alarm bell to you, I didn't mention this gun in my hand. Now leave. Get out!
So that's it, huh? Okay, I'll leave. But on my way out, I'll conk that dame on the dome. The one who tried to keep me out of here.
No, you won't leave by that door. You'll leave through this back door right here. Now move. I don't know, Della. They came from the back hallway. I'll look out there.
I'll open the door. Oh, that man's been murdered. The man who forced his way into your office. Oh, how terrible.
I'll call the police, Della.
Once again, the steely, cold Hearthstone of the Death Squad and his assistant detective Sam Cook find themselves on the scene of a strange and puzzling murder. And we hear Inspector Hearthstone with Della Parker and her employer, Mr. Lindsay, as he says,
"So, your story, Mr. Lindsay, is that a man you had never seen before forced his way into your office, threatened to kill you, left by the back door which you had closed upon him, and was shot down in this hallway about 10 feet from the door of this office."
I'm sure he was insane, Inspector Hearthstone. He forced his way into my office.
That's just what happened, Inspector. I'm Della Parker, Mr. Lindsay's confidential secretary. The man rushed in with a mad look in his eyes, wouldn't let me announce him, pushed me aside, and forced his way into Mr. Lindsay's office and slammed the door.
So you were not in Mr. Lindsay's office while this man was talking to him?
No, Della was outside in the reception room. But you see, Inspector Hearthstone, she confirms my story exactly.
So I should expect from your secretary, Mr. Lindsay. Confirming employer's story is part of a secretary's job. But I wonder, will she confirm whatever explanation you make of that .45 caliber gun on your desk?
A gun? Oh, Mr. Lindsay usually keeps that in his safe. I have no idea how it got there, Inspector.
I used it to frighten the man away, Inspector. Remember, he was threatening to kill me. Why? I don't know.
Detective Cook, Sam, hand me that gun, please.
Sure, Inspector.
I see it hasn't been fired.
Not much evidence, is there, Inspector Hearthstone? A gun that hasn't been fired? And the body of a man out there I've never set eyes on before. I wonder who he was.
I can tell you, Mr. Lindsay. His name is Bash Cagle. And his business is that of a dope peddler.
What?
And your business is that of a messenger and parcel delivery service.
Oh, how dreadful.
What's dreadful, Della?
Well, she may be formulating the idea, Mr. Lindsay, that a parcel delivery service would be an excellent way to distribute dope. But we'll drop that for the moment.
Inspector Hearthstone, this excited girl is putting ideas into your mind. She hasn't the haziest idea of what this business is.
Perhaps you should find a less excitable secretary, Mr. Lindsay. Probably safer.
Della. Oh, Della, I was afraid it was you.
Oh, darling, I'm so frightened.
What's this?
Phil Richards from the Evening Star, Inspector Hearthstone.
Oh, now I recall him, Detective Cook. Hello, Phil. What brings you here?
I came to cover the story and to get Della out of here, Inspector Hearthstone.
Della and I are to be married, Inspector. Oh, Phil, I should have listened to you this morning.
This morning? Were you here before this murder occurred, Phil?
Yes, about an hour before, Inspector Hartstone.
Looks like this guy gets in early, Inspector. Covers a murder story before the murder comes off. Fast work, Phil.
That's a point, Sam. Why were you here this morning, Phil?
He came to warn me, Inspector Hartstone.
That's it, Inspector. I had a tip from my city editor, Martin Bayard, that he was ready to blow this Lindsay Messenger Service outfit to the sky. Said he just about had the goods that it was the cover for a big crime ring.
What kind of ring, Phil?
Well, Bayard didn't tell me. He's a pretty secretive sort of a guy until he gets a story all lined up and tied together. But believe me, he's got one, or he wouldn't be saying anything.
Phil came here terribly upset, Inspector Hartstone, to have me leave my job, and I was silly enough to laugh at him. I called it melodrama.
Phil, get your city editor, Martin Bayard, to the phone for me.
Okay, Inspector. Parker 08-9970, and be quick. Hello, Star Office. This is Phil Richards. Put me on to Bayard at the city desk. What? Well, that's impossible. When? Wait. Let me tell this to Inspector Hartstone. Listen, Inspector. Martin Bayard was shot down by a machine gun fire.
What?
They got him just as he was stepping into a lunchroom behind the newspaper office. Less than 5 minutes ago.
So Bayard's story on the Lindsay Messenger Service was stopped by the hand of death.
And I think I've got the answer, Inspector Hartstone. This man, Lindsay, here, undoubtedly overheard me warning Della this morning and tipped his mob to bump off Bayard.
It could be, Phil. Now, Lindsay.
I didn't overhear anything, Inspector Hartstone. I didn't even know this reporter was in here talking to Della. It's ridiculous. And why, in the name of heaven, should I want the city editor of the Evening Star murdered?
As the evidence in this case unfolds itself, the answer to that question may be revealed, Lindsay. In the meanwhile, let's go back to the murdered dope peddler in the hall, Bash Cagle. His body, at least, is on these premises.
May I point out to you, Inspector Hartstone, that there is only a single set of footprints on the floor, leading from this office to his body, his footsteps and no others?
No, you needn't, Lindsay. I noted that interesting fact myself. That's why I didn't approach the body.
Well, that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it, that I didn't follow him down the hallway and kill him?
Unless there's some very clever trick that I haven't caught on to as yet.
Well, nobody ever goes down that hall. That is, except very seldom. The floor was waxed this morning. The only person walking over it was the murdered man.
So it seems. Now, tell me, Mr. Lindsay, did you use the phone after the murder?
Only to call the police, Inspector Hartstone. Isn't that true, Della?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Lindsay. That is...
That is what, Della?
Well, I'm sure, Inspector Hartstone, that Mr. Lindsay did not use the phone.
Detective Cook, Sam, what did you find out from the elevator man?
He says he brought two tough-looking characters up here, Inspector, but they never came down with him. If this is only the third floor, it'd be a cinch to get away down the stairs.
Very well. And, Sam, there's a man looking out of the back office near Bash Cagle's body. I think he wants to talk to me.
What do you know? Okay, I'll get him. Come on, mister. The inspector wants you.
Certainly, officer. I've got a note for the inspector.
You won't get anything out of him, Inspector Hartstone. He's only the man who handles the parcels, Henry Jones.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay. But I'll find out for myself.
Here you are, Inspector Hartstone.
Your name is Henry Jones. What's your story?
No story at all, Inspector Hartstone. I just wanted to give you this note that I found.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Jones. I'll look at it.
What's in that note, Jones?
Nothing of immediate interest to you, Lindsay. I think I take the point, Mr. Jones. We'll arrange it just as this note suggests. Sam, read this note.
I think it's a trick, Inspector Hartstone.
I'm not so sure, Sam. Come on, let's go back to headquarters.
Back to headquarters, Inspector, with everything hanging in the air? I don't catch you on.
Come on, Sam. Oh, thank you, Mr. Lindsay, for your help. I shall see you later. After your establishment has been gone over with a fine-tooth comb.
Searched? What?
And if you're interested in what I'm looking for, it's dope, narcotics, drugs. Goodbye.
What about me and Della, Inspector Hartstone?
Well, write your story for the newspaper, Phil, about this murder and about the killing of your city editor, Martin Bayard. Then look after your fiancé. I think she may be ready now to stop laughing at your warnings.
This note from that guy Henry Jones looks tricky to me, Inspector Ratstone. It says, can I see you at police headquarters? Have the evidence you want. Afraid to talk here. I'm the party who was given Bayard, city editor of the Evening Star, the lowdown. Henry Jones.
The note can be a trick, Sam. Or it can be legitimate. When we talk to Henry Jones, we'll soon find out.
My hunch is we'll get nothing.
And Detective Sam Cook was right. For while he and Inspector Hearthstone are on their way back to headquarters, this scene takes place with Henry Jones in his employer's office. We hear Mr. Lindsay, the employer, saying,
you'll tell me what that note you wrote to Hearthstone was, Jones, or you're out of a job.
It's got nothing to do with you, Mr. Lindsay, believe me.
Were you by any chance making a date to talk to Hearthstone outside of this office? Where you could talk and talk and talk, feed him a lot of eyewash about what you think goes on here?
No, I'm not meeting that cop anywhere. Never had such an idea.
That's the phone ringing in your office, Jones. Go answer it and then come back here.
All right. I'll be right back, Mr. Lindsay. Hello? Hello? What is this? What are you doing? No! No, no! Don't kill me! No!
Another mystery high spot on your CBS radio roster, formerly at this time, is The Lineup. The Lineup, taking you behind the scenes into police cases and authentic police methods, brings you stories of troubled human beings on both sides of the law. Exciting manhunts colored only by reality itself. From now on, The Lineup will be heard Wednesday evening over most of these same CBS radio stations. And now, back to Hearthstone of the Death Squad and the unheeded warning murder case. When sudden murder strikes in the offices of the Elliot Lindsay Messenger Service, Inspector Hearthstone recognizes the victim as Bash Cagle, a notorious dope peddler. And he looks with suspicion upon Elliot Lindsay, especially when Phil Richards, a newspaper reporter, in love with Lindsay's beautiful secretary, Della Parker, tells Inspector Hearthstone that his city editor, Martin Bayard, has information that the Lindsay Messenger Service is being used to distribute dope. Then Martin Bayard is murdered, and a note is delivered to Hearthstone from Henry Jones, a clerk in Elliot Lindsay's office, saying he has the evidence that will point out the murderer. Now it is a short time later. The scene is police headquarters, and we hear Inspector Hearthstone saying to Detective Sam Cook,
well, Henry Jones should be here any minute now, Sam.
I still say the guy's a phony.
Inspector Hearthstone speaking.
Inspector Hearthstone, this is Elliot Lindsay. Another murder's been committed here in my office. The man, Henry Jones, who gave you that note, has been shot, stone dead. A couple of policemen are here already, but I thought I'd better phone you myself.
Put one of those policemen on the line, Lindsay.
Officer, Inspector Hearthstone wants to speak to you.
This is Officer Kenny, Inspector.
Take Elliot Lindsay, head of Lindsay Messenger Service, in custody, officer. Bring him in handcuffed. Have the offices surrounded so nobody can get in or out, and act at once. Goodbye.
That's the third guy to go, Inspector.
Yes, and if we are not careful, Sam, it won't be the last. Well, Sam, see if you can reach Phil Edwards, Richards, at his newspaper. Tell him I want to see him. Tell him to hurry over here.
Well, that's a coincidence. I had a flash you'd want me, Inspector Hearthstone, so here I am.
Oh, splendid, Phil. I see you brought Della with you.
It was dreadful, Inspector. Phil and I hadn't even left the Lindsay offices when that poor, harmless old man, Henry Jones, was killed.
He was in Lindsay's office, Inspector.
Murdered in Lindsay's office?
No, not killed there, but I heard them quarreling, Inspector Hearthstone and Mr. Lindsay's office. And then Henry Jones went to answer his phone, and he was shot in his own little cubbyhole.
It's a cinch Lindsay did it, Inspector.
Now, Della, tell Inspector Hearthstone what you told me about Lindsay's phone call before my city editor was killed. Well, don't hold back. There's nothing to be afraid of, Della.
Well, I heard Mr. Lindsay on the phone calling somebody this morning after the first murder. And he said Phil City editor Martin Bayard usually ran out for a sandwich at a lunch counter behind the newspaper office at about 2 o'clock every day.
So there you are, Inspector. There's your case.
It seems that way, Phil. But every indication is that Lindsay was not working alone. The dope racket embraces many men, many killers. I want them all.
That's what my murdered city editor told me, Inspector. And by the way, I went through his private file and found one very peculiar thing.
Phil, isn't it enough that 3 people have been killed already for talking without your taking a chance? Oh, Phil, please get out of this case. I'm frightened, terribly frightened for you.
Well, I'm a newspaper reporter, Della. I write what I see and I tell the police what I know.
Please, Phil, I'm so frightened. You must take care of me. Why, with all those people being killed from that horrible Lindsay messenger service office, I'm afraid to go home. I know somebody will kill me. I'll sit up all night. I won't go to bed.
Oh, easy, sweetheart. I've thought of that myself. So I've told my mother you'll stay with her until this is over.
Oh, Phil, that's just what I hoped you'd say. Your mother's a darling.
Let me ask you, Phil. Did you bring those notes you took from your murdered city editor's private file with you?
No, but I can get them, Inspector Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
After I've taken Della to my mother's, I'll go back to the newspaper and pick them up. I'll bring them to you then. Is that all right?
Phil, wouldn't it be quicker if we passed by the newspaper office on our way to your mother's? And if we get those papers then, and as soon as you've left me at mother's, then take a taxi and be back here in a few minutes?
Oh, that's an idea, Della. I'll be back, Inspector Hearthstone, that way before 10.
Excellent, Phil. You and Della had better run along now. Go through the door at the left.
Come on, Della. See you about 10, Inspector Hearthstone. Bye.
Bye. Yes, come in.
I've got that man Lindsay outside, Inspector Hearthstone. You want him up here now?
Yes, Officer Kinney. Bring him in.
I'll go with you, Kinney, and get him myself.
No, no, Sam. Let Kinney get him. Now, you hurry down and put a good man, a top man, on the job of trailing Phil and Della. Now, don't stand staring at me, Sam. Get on with it.
I'm sorry, Inspector. I'll put one of the boys on the trail right away. Richards and Della Parker.
Well, hurry, Sam.
Here's Lindsay, Inspector.
Inspector Hearthstone, if you're arresting me for murder, you're on the wrong street.
Why, Lindsay?
Because I didn't kill anybody. It's more likely I myself will be killed.
Again, why, Lindsay?
Because it's as plain as the nose on your face that young newspaper reporter Phil Richards and his girlfriend Della Parker are committing these murders.
Oh, really? Well, thanks for the information. But tell me, what evidence have you to support that story, Lindsay?
The evidence of what I suppose is millions of dollars in dope that I found concealed in our uptown warehouse. The only people who could have concealed it there are my secretary, Della Parker, and her fiancé, that newspaper reporter. They're the only ones.
It's a beautiful story if true, Lindsay. Especially from a man who's been on the scene in suspicious circumstances of 2 murders.
I don't care where I was. I'm telling you the truth, Inspector Hearthstone.
All right, Lindsay. I'm going to do a funny thing. Detective Cook. Sam.
Yeah, Inspector.
Take the handcuffs off Lindsay. Release him. No charge.
What? Release him?
That's what I said, Sam. Release him. You may go, Lindsay. But remember, you may be watched.
You're letting me go?
I have my reasons. Show Mr. Lindsay out, Sam.
And in the meanwhile, Della Parker and Phil Richards are walking along the dark street where Phil's mother lives. And Phil is saying,
I think you were imagining things, sweetheart. Nobody was following us. But just to settle you down, I got the idea of slipping through one door of that restaurant and out the other.
Phil, I'm worried about you. What was that strange thing you said was in those notes of your editor, Martin Bayard? Oh, I'm about to be your wife, darling. We shouldn't have secrets. Please, dear.
I think Bayard went nuts before he was killed. His notes say a woman was in the dope racket with Lindsay.
And who was the woman, Phil, darling? Oh, but come kiss me first and then tell me.
I tell you, Bayard, big city editor or not, was nuts. It was you, Della.
You.
Give me those papers that they had. Give them to me.
Stella. God forgive me, it was you. I'll give you nothing. God help me, you a murderess. A murderess.
And the queen of dope, too. Now give me those papers.
Not this side
no!
of... You killed me.
And good. Now for those papers. Here they are. Now into this sewer with them. And the gun. Help! Help! Murder! Murder! Help!
What's happened, lady?
My fiancé's been killed. I was afraid of this. Oh, take me to a phone office or I must call Inspector Hartstone.
Hartstone of the Death Squad?
Yes, he's working on the case that led to this murder.
Well, you can use this police phone right here, miss. I'll get him. Hello? Officer Blake reporting a murder. Give me Inspector Hartstone. He on me.
Inspector Hartstone, this is Della Parker. That terrible man, Lindsay, has just murdered Phil Richards.
And a few minutes later, we find an hysterical girl, Della Parker, confronting Inspector Hartstone.
And I keep on saying, Inspector Hartstone, you're responsible for Phil's murder. You knew a desperate gang of dope peddlers was after him, and you failed to protect him.
I'll never live long enough to forgive myself, Della.
Should have done something.
Recriminations won't get us anywhere, Della. All we can do is help each other. And when I bring Phil's killer to justice, I hope you'll find it in your heart to forgive me. Steady, my dear. First thing is, did you actually see your employer, Lindsay, shoot down Phil?
It was dark, but I'm sure it was Mr. Lindsay. I'll swear it on the witness stand. And I'll swear, too, that you were the cause.
Please, my dear child, forget your feelings toward me for a minute. I only ask you to help me. Do that first, then hate me all you like. I'll understand and forgive.
How can I help you, Inspector Hartstone?
Detective Cook, bring Lindsay in.
Come in, Lindsay. Don't try any tricks.
I wasn't near that reporter, Phil Richards, when he was killed. Detective Cook is mad.
Here are some reports from our narcotics squad, Lindsay. Read these letters. There are tips written into narcotics putting three known dope czars on the spot. And you are one of them.
I don't know anything about them. They're typewritten.
They were written on the typewriter in your office. And here is a confidential report to narcotics from the murdered city editor, Martin Bayard, the man Phil Richards worked for.
What does it say?
It says a woman is the head of your dope ring. And don't deny you were operating one, Lindsay.
That woman was Mr. Lindsay's wife, Inspector Hartstone.
That's possible, Della.
It's a lie, Inspector Hartstone. My wife had nothing to do with dope.
Watch what you're saying, Lindsay. Your wife may be the woman.
It's not my wife. She's not the killer. This girl, Della Parker, was the brains. She worked the whole thing. She used my messenger service to pass dope.
What are you saying, Mr. Lindsay? Oh, Inspector Hartstone, isn't it enough that Phil Richards is a fine, clean boy who loved me? Oh, Phil, why should you have been murdered?
Because Phil found out who the leader of the dope ring was, who the wholesale murderer was.
I begged Phil to stay out of this.
And he undoubtedly knew who the woman was who operated the dope ring. She directed the murders to gain complete control for herself.
Mr. Lindsay, I'll scratch your eyes out. Your wife shot Phil.
Get her, Sam. Easy now, Della. Sam, now tell us just where you found the papers and the murder gun that killed Phil.
Sure. I got him out of the sewer trays near where he was shot.
A natural place for a woman to throw them. And you, Della Parker, were the only woman on the scene of Phil's murder.
Oh, that's right. Accuse me for your own mistakes, Inspector Hartstone.
I hope you forgive me for this, Della.
I'll not forgive you for anything.
Not even for arresting you for murder? Grab her, Sam, and handcuff her.
No!
Gag you, Della.
Your mistake, Della, was in being a little too clever, too cooperative, too sweet with the unfortunate boy you murdered. Probably the only person who ever loved you.
You can't prove that I murdered him, Hartstone.
You'll find I can prove everything, Della, when I present the evidence I have at your trial.
You'll prove nothing!
And you'll remember this when the dark and eternal door of the execution chamber closes on you.
No, no!
That's all, Sam. Charge her with murder. and turn Lindsay over to the narcotics division as a dope handler.
Okay, Inspector Hearthstone.
My only regret is that the men we put to trail this woman and Phil Richards on his murder journey lost them. I was trying to protect Phil from this very thing.
And thus, Hearthstone of the Death Squad writes solved in the files of the Unheeded Warning murder case. The part of Inspector Hearthstone was played by Alfred Shirley and was written by Frank Hummert, directed by Henry Howard, and is a presentation of CBS Radio. Listen in next Thursday at this same time for Hearthstone of the Death Squad in the Lost Wife murder case. Here is another CBS radio treat coming up right after station identification on most of these same stations. It's Joan Caulfield and Jeffrey Lynn in Accent on Youth, putting the accent on comedy in your Broadway playhouse. You'll enjoy this modern comedy about modern young folks in hilarious human adventures when you hear Broadway Playhouse, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. And remember, on the CBS Radio Network Fridays, Western Swing is footloose and fancy free on the Spade Cooley Show. Listen for Hearthstone of the Death Squad in the Lost Wife murder case at this same time next Thursday night. Your announcer is Art Hannon. This is the CBS Radio Network.
And now, Hearthstone of the Death Squad in the marriage annulment murder case. Tonight, we again present the famous Hearthstone of the Death Squad. Implacable manhunter of the Metropolitan Police in one of his greatest investigations entitled The Marriage Annulment Murder Case. With Peter Capel as Conrad Faulkner and Peggy Sanford as Isabel Gomez. And now, Inspector Hearthstone in the Marriage Annulment Murder Case. As the curtain rises, we see the luxurious living room of Conrad Faulkner, who is handsome, graying, and middle-aged. He is looking in a puzzled way at his very young wife as he holds in his hand a newspaper clipping, which she has just given him. And we hear him say the words that lead to one of Inspector Hearthstone's most famous murder cases.
This newspaper clipping, my dear Glenda, why did you give it to me? From where does it come?
From this afternoon's paper. Read it, Conrad.
It's about some man and his wife whose marriage was annulled. But I don't know the people.
Their marriage was annulled in court because it was proved they never lived together as husband and wife.
Yes, so it says, but...
Conrad, I wouldn't ask this if our own marriage be ended the same way. I mean by annulment. It's so much easier than divorce.
So my sweet little wife finally comes to the conclusion, as I warned her, that marrying me might be her great mistake.
You did warn me, Conrad. But when Father died and left you my guardian, I felt helpless and alone. I wanted someone to protect and care for me. I never thought... I couldn't be made to believe that...
That one day love would come to you, huh? And now you find it has?
Yes, deeply. Terribly, Conrad.
I needn't ask, Glenda. Is he of your age?
I'm torn between love for him and duty and gratitude and affection for you. But I'd rather die than live without him.
I'm not unprepared for this. After all, it's the course of nature.
I blame myself. When I first saw what was coming, I should have put him right out of my mind. But it was like lightning from the sky, Conrad.
Don't tell me anything more, Glenda. There are limits.
Where are you going, Conrad?
To my club, where I shall stay until we have the matter of an annulment of our marriage settled. Don't worry. It will end well.
Conrad, you don't hate me for this.
Hate is a bitter word.
Oh.
And the fantastic world in which we live, who can predict?
What?
I may meet this young lover of yours, Glenda, and be his best man at your wedding.
Conrad!
Goodbye.
I'll phone Eric right away.
Hello? Eric Jackson speaking.
Eric, this is Glenda. I told Conrad, and he said it was all right.
Glenda, sweetheart.
Wait, Eric. There was something in the way he said it that makes me afraid.
Afraid?
Something in the tone of his voice. Something in his eyes I'd never seen before.
If he threatened you, I'll...
Conrad isn't the kind who threatens.
Tell me exactly what he said, Glenda.
I told him I didn't want to hurt him, but that I loved you. And...
And early the following morning, we see the cold and calculating Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad, with his assistant, Detective Sam Cook, in the pastel-tinted bedroom of Glenda Faulkner, its peaceful beauty contradicted by the horribly mutilated body of Glenda, which lies sprawling across her bed. And we hear the inspector say,
"A filthy sight, Sam. Clearly this is a murder of hate."
Yeah, Inspector. Stabbing her once wasn't enough. I counted 10 places across her breast.
The butler who reported the murder says her husband wasn't home last night.
Yeah, he said he spent his night at his club.
I wonder why.
He ought to be here by now. Butler rung him up at the club.
Hand me that newspaper on the floor beside her bed.
Here you are, Inspector.
Curious. A leading story was clipped from the front page.
That's yesterday afternoon, Star Telegraph, Inspector. I guess she cut it out with that scissors on her sewing table.
Hmm? Well, she couldn't have, Sam. These are pinking scissors. They don't cut a clean line, but in the pattern of a saw.
What are the only scissors here, Inspector?
Sam, phone the Star Telegraph. Find out what story they carried on the third column of yesterday's late edition.
Yes, sir. There's a phone down the hall.
Come in.
You are Inspector Hearthstone? I'm Conrad Faulkner.
This murdered woman's husband?
Yes. But do not ask me to look at her. She was so young, so lovely.
The issue at this moment is to discover her killer, Mr. Faulkner.
If only I had not chosen last night of all nights to spend at my club.
You cannot undo the past. No doubt you had an excellent reason for leaving your wife alone last night.
A late business meeting, Inspector Hearthstone. And every minute of my absence can be accounted for.
Aren't you getting a bit ahead of yourself?
What?
I didn't ask you for an alibi.
But isn't the husband usually suspect when a wife is murdered, Inspector Hearthstone?
Not always.
You are a clever man, Inspector Hearthstone. I present the alibi, for I have a premonition that sooner or later I will be accused.
Perhaps you are the clever one.
Even at a time of tragedy, one cannot forget. Self-preservation is the first law of nature.
Perhaps you can throw some light on this newspaper, Mr. Faulkner.
Newspaper?
Have you any idea what the subject of the story clipped from it was?
Not the least idea, Inspector.
Detective Cook and I found it beside your murdered wife's bed.
It is completely a mystery to me. But how could it bear on Glenda's murder?
Oh, yes, Sam.
Star Telegraph says that the story cut out from that paper was about a couple who had their marriage annulled because they never lived together as man and wife.
Mr. Faulkner, perhaps the information Detective Cook gives me has a direct bearing on your wife's murder.
But how, Inspector?
On what terms did you leave your wife when you left to spend the night at your club? When did you last see her alive? Did you return to this house during the night? What was your true reason for leaving?
The reason I gave. Business. Glenda and I parted on the happiest terms. I know nothing of this newspaper story of annulment. It does not concern me.
It concerns me. When a girl, obviously 25 years younger than her husband, is murdered.
I was Glenda's guardian before our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Her father and I were long business colleagues. Wine merchants of international repute. I in Barcelona, he in New York.
Yes.
On his death, he appointed me her guardian.
You have already said that.
Then Glenda, left alone in the world, sought the wisdom and protection of age and asked me to be her husband. And our days were happy.
And ended in her murder. A murder associated in some strange way with a newspaper story about a marriage annulment. So the question is...
Is what?
Was your young wife seeking to end her marriage to you by annulment because you had never lived together as man and wife?
The suggestion offends me. Only one person had the motive to murder my wife.
Who?
A young man who was forcing unwelcome attentions upon her, Inspector Hearthstone, and whom she ordered out of her life yesterday. His name is Eric Jackson.
Eric Jackson?
Sounds phony to me, Inspector.
Hey, 1 minute, Sam.
It is not phony, Detective Cook. Here is Eric Jackson's address, Inspector Hearthstone.
You give his address as your own office, Mr. Faulkner.
Exactly, Inspector. Eric Jackson is an employee of my firm. It is there where my murdered Glenda met him, only to have him form the unwelcome infatuation that caused her murder.
Detective Cook and I will see this man, Mr. Faulkner, hoping, of course, that it will relieve you of suspicion.
It will, Inspector. I'll have my butler show you out.
You rang, sir?
Show these gentlemen to the door, Pickett.
This way, Inspector Hearthstone.
Well, don't trouble, Pickett. We know the way. Good day, Mr. Faulkner.
Pickett, bring me a double whiskey and soda.
Better wait till the cops get out of the house, sir. That Hearthstone is a slick one.
And what are you talking about?
About this newspaper clipping I heard you and the missus arguing about yesterday afternoon, sir.
Where did you find it?
I venture you dropped it out of your pocket in front of her door when you came back to murder last night.
What?
I'm offering it for sale, sir, to the highest bidder. It's between you and the cops. Suppose you start off with, say, $10,000.
Give me that clipping. And leave this house, Pickett.
There's Mr. Faulkner's office, Inspector Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
For my go, we're wasting our breath talking to that Eric Jackson, the guy he's trying to put the finger on.
Sam, we have only suspicion, without evidence so far, that Faulkner murdered his wife. I'm interested in his butler. Odd situation.
You mean Pickett?
He served 2 terms for blackmail.
What do you know? Oh, here's the door.
Yes? You wish to see someone?
I'm Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad, Office of Criminal Investigation. This is Detective Cook.
The police? But nothing has happened here.
I heard you say you were Inspector Hearthstone. Can I help you?
We're looking for Mr. Eric Jackson. Is he around?
I'm Eric Jackson. But why...
We're investigating the murder of your employer's wife.
No.
Mrs. Conrad Faulkner. She was found murdered in her bed less than an hour ago.
Glenda murdered? Oh, no. No.
That is what you get, Eric Jackson, for your illegitimate love match with that girl, Mr. Faulkner's wife.
Who are you, sister?
Isabel Gomez. I work long for Mr. Faulkner. I see all this brewing. Murder had to result. I accuse Eric Jackson, the man you have come here to arrest.
Glenda murdered. Oh, why didn't I call the police in time?
Am I to assume by that, Mr. Jackson, that you had knowledge Mrs. Faulkner was in danger of being murdered?
Of a certain he knew in advance. He killed her. He would have to know.
Suppositions and accusations don't solve murders, Miss Gomez. Have you evidence?
Evidence? No. But facts, yes.
I'll hear your facts later, Miss Gomez. I suggest we go into this office, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Inspector Hartstone. It's mine.
Eric, suppose you start by telling me why you thought Mrs. Faulkner was in danger of being murdered.
Glenda was murdered because she loved me.
I've heard the contrary, but go ahead.
She phoned me late yesterday afternoon that her husband had agreed to have their marriage terminated so she could marry me. She told her husband, Conrad, that she was in love with me.
Did she say whether the marriage was to terminate by divorce or annulment?
Annulment? No, she didn't. But she did say there was something in her husband's eyes, something in the tone of his voice when he agreed to end their marriage that put her in deadly fear of him.
Why didn't you report that to the police?
She wasn't murdered because she asked for a divorce or because of our love for each other, Inspector Hartstone.
No.
Glenda was her husband's ward, as well as his wife. He was also the executor of her father's estate and the sole custodian of the fortune her father left her.
Yes?
He embezzled every cent of her money. And the books of this company will prove it. Glenda became suspicious of him. It wasn't a murder of passion, Inspector Hartstone. It was a cold and calculated murder to keep her husband from behind prison bars.
That may throw a new light on the case.
I'm an expert accountant, and I know what I'm talking about. And Inspector Hartstone.
Yes?
There's another reason Conrad Faulkner wanted Glenda out of the way.
What reason?
That woman in the outer office, Isabel Gomez, the one who accused me of murdering Glenda.
How? Why?
Because they worked the theft of Glenda's money together and want to be off together. And I can prove that, too.
Detective Cook. Sam.
Yeah, Inspector.
Bring Isabel Gomez in here. Eric Jackson accuses her of theft and murder.
Hearthstone of the Death Squad and the Marriage Annulment Murder Case continues in just a moment. Is this show coming to you on your car radio? How are your brakes? The pedal getting too close to the floorboards? And how about your lights, horn, windshield wipers? If they're not in shape, you're taking chances. Why do it? There are repair shops everywhere. And now, back to Hearthstone of the Death Squad and the Marriage Annulment Murder Case. Investigating the murder of lovely young Glenda Faulkner, brutally stabbed to death in her own bed, Inspector Hearthstone is told by her older husband, Conrad Faulkner, that Glenda was receiving unwelcome attentions from Eric Jackson, a young man of her own age who works for him. Suspicion begins to point at Conrad when the inspector discovers a newspaper beside the murder bed with an item about a marriage annulment cut from it. And upon his questioning Eric Jackson, Eric accuses Conrad and Isabel Gomez, also employed by Conrad, saying that Isabel helped Conrad to embezzle his wife's fortune and that Conrad murdered his wife to prevent discovery. Now, a moment later, at Conrad Faulkner's office, Inspector Hearthstone is saying to his assistant, Detective Sam Cook...
Detective Cook, bring Isabel Gomez in here. Eric Jackson accuses her of theft and murder.
It is a lie. I do not steal. I do not murder.
I didn't say murder, Inspector Hearthstone. I said theft.
1 minute, Eric.
Swine. You pig, Eric.
Shut up, Isabel.
He's a swine, a pig, Detective Cook. Eric lies, Inspector Hearthstone. But he will not deceive you. What do you wish with me?
I wish to know why you're wearing only one earring, Isabel.
What? Why, I must have dropped it in the other room. I go see.
No, you needn't. Here is its mate, a black jet earring.
I picked it off the ground directly under the window of the bedroom where Glenda Faulkner was murdered.
Those earrings, they can be bought at any department store in New York. Every woman you meet wears them. They're the fashion.
We'll check up on that one fast, sister.
Heaven help me, then she is Glenda's murderess, Inspector Hearthstone. And all proved by a dropped earring.
It is not my earring, Eric Jackson.
The earring was not the only clue I found beneath the window.
What?
What, another?
This star sapphire cufflink. Can either of you identify it? Eric? Isabel?
I have never set eyes on it.
And you, Eric?
I think it's Conrad Faulkner's.
You lie, Eric. It is not Mr. Faulkner's.
You think it is the murdered girl's husband's cufflink, Eric?
I'm not certain, Inspector Hearthstone, but it looks like one of those he wore.
Thank you, Eric. And you, Miss Gomez. You will both please go to your homes and remain there. This office will be closed and sealed for police inspection. Come along, Sam.
Okay, Inspector. If I'm out of step, Inspector Hearthstone, slap me down. But why are we pinching that dame?
You think we could convict her on the evidence of this earring alone, Sam?
With the sense that she and the murdered girl's husband were a twosome. And we got her earring and his cufflink out off the murder scene.
Right so.
What are those newspapers you got under your arm, Inspector?
Two copies of yesterday's Star Telegraph, Sam. With the story of that highly interesting marriage annulment checked in pencil on one.
Where'd you get them?
In the waste paper basket in the reception room of Mr. Faulkner's office. But he may not have put them there.
That marriage annulment clipping seems to be turning up everywhere.
We'll confront Faulkner with it, Sam, at his house within the next few minutes.
Inspector Hearthstone, come in.
I'm here too, Mr. Faulkner.
My apologies, Detective Cook. My butler, Pickett, left my employ suddenly and without reason, so I answered the door myself.
Your butler, Pickett, is a known criminal and blackmailer.
You astonish me, Inspector Hearthstone. I failed to check his reference when I employed him.
Oh, does this cufflink happen to be yours, Mr. Faulkner?
Yes. It is one of a set that was presented to me. I never wore them. I put them aside in my desk at the office. You found it there, of course.
No. On the ground directly beneath the window of your murdered wife's bedroom.
How it got there, I cannot say. But this newspaper clipping may interest you, Inspector Hearthstone.
Newspaper clipping? It does very much. Especially as it is a marriage annulment story from yesterday's Star Telegraph.
My butler, Pickett, attempted to blackmail me for $10,000 for it. He overheard my wife, Glenda, present it to me as a possible way to have her marriage to me annulled.
Really? So you admit it now? Admit that your wife came to you to have your marriage annulled? Just as I thought.
I agreed to her plea quite readily. Ours was a marriage of convenience rather than love, Inspector Hearthstone. We did not live together as man and wife. Our marriage could have been annulled. But I thought no more of this clipping until Pickett attempted to use it as a means of blackmail.
Faulkner, earlier today, you complimented me by calling me clever. And I returned it by saying perhaps you were the clever one.
You were very gracious, Inspector Hearthstone. But now is no time for pretty words. Undoubtedly, you have come to reveal who murdered my wife.
There is such a thing as being too clever, Mr. Faulkner.
I quite agree, Inspector. After all, the proof of the pudding
is in the eating. And figuratively speaking, neither you nor I have eaten yet. But the records of the police show that the refusal of a wife to live with her husband provides a prime motive for murder. Good day, Mr. Faulkner.
I'm not asking you this time why we're not making a pinch, Inspector.
Sam, radio headquarters from the car. One, to search this house for the butler, Pickett's body.
Right.
Two, have the police auditors check the books in Faulkner's office. And third...
Here's the car.
Back to headquarters quickly, Sam.
Now, back in Inspector Hearthstone's grim office at the Death Squad, we hear Detective Cook say...
I'll give it to you fast, Inspector. The butler Pickett's not dead. He's drunk as a lord, shooting money like crazy.
Get on with it, Sam.
Report on Isabel Gomez. The murdered Glenda Faulkner's husband, Conrad, is putting up for Isabel in a lush apartment on East 53rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
You got her black jet earring and his cufflink already found at the murder scene.
Get on to the auditor's report on Faulkner's books, Sam.
Right here, sir.
Well, let me see it.
Haven't had time to read it myself.
The solution is in Faulkner's books, Sam, and in this neatly cut-out clipping of the marriage annulment story in the Star Telegraph.
Yeah? I got everybody outside, Inspector Hearthstone. Faulkner, Isabel, and Eric Jackson.
Bring them in, Sam. The case is solved.
Come in, all of you.
I reached the conclusion, Inspector Hearthstone, that your cleverness is bringing my wife's killer to arrest.
Mr. Faulkner, an audit of your books reveals that every dollar of your wife's estate held in trust by you was embezzled.
That is not a clever solution, Inspector. It is impossible.
Neither was it clever of you, Faulkner, to put up for this woman, Isabel Gomez, in one of the most expensive apartments in the city.
Is passionate love proof of murder, Inspector? I proudly say the money Conrad Faulkner spent on me was not embezzled from his murdered wife, Glenda.
Let me at her. It's like I said, Inspector. Faulkner killed Glenda. He embezzled her money. Isabel helped him murder her. You have all the evidence. Her earring, his cufflink. Proof of a $500,000 theft.
Easy, Eric.
I'll kill them both.
Grab him, Sam.
And
Eric Jackson is the murderer.
What?
Eric?
Yes, Eric Jackson.
You're a fool, Hearthstone. You're not fit to be a police officer.
I deal in evidence. And you gave me too much. You planted Isabel's black jet earring on the scene. You planted Conrad Faulkner's cufflink along with it. And you cut this story of the marriage annulment from the newspaper.
It's a lie.
You cut it out with these shears. Found in a search of your room, Eric.
Glenda cut it from the newspaper herself. In her room, with her scissors.
The only scissors in Glenda's room were pinking shears. Shears that leave the pattern of a saw. You gave her the story, Eric. Gave her the idea to ask her husband for an annulment of their marriage so you'd be free to murder her and have her husband accused.
He embezzled her money. The proof is in his books.
The proof in his books is that you, Eric Jackson, forged entries and took the money. Here's proof you did.
All right, Hearthstone. I did.
Detective Cook, charge him with willful murder. Take him to the cells.
Out of that door, Jackson. Start moving.
Is it not as I said, Inspector Hearthstone? You are the clever one, not I.
Through your sheer stupidity, Faulkner, you made me believe you were perhaps the most clever suspect I'd ever met in my long experience as a police officer. But that's neither here nor there. It's my job to bring murderers to heel. And your wife's killer will end up in the electric chair.
And thus, Hearthstone of the Death Squad, right solved in the files of the marriage annulment murder case. The part of Inspector Hearthstone was played by Alfred Shirley, written by Frank Hummert, directed by Henry Howard, and is a presentation of CBS Radio. Listen in next Thursday night at this same time for Hearthstone of the Death Squad in Murder and the Little Man with the Big Mustache. Coming right up, CBS Radio is proud to announce the premiere performance of Stars in the Air, a new program featuring Hollywood stars in special adaptations of all-time best screen comedies and romances. For tonight's premiere, Stars in the Air brings you James Stewart and Donna Reed in It's a Wonderful Life. Stay tuned for this Stars in the Air premiere, which follows immediately on most of these same stations. Blood and blood plasma are saving the lives of many a wounded man in Korea. We owe it to these brave men to supply the blood for their care. In the treatment of many casualties, there is no substitute for blood, and it is imperative that action be taken to ensure that an adequate supply is ready for immediate use. The Department of Defense is calling up for an immediate stepping up of blood collections. This month, our country is short 300,000 pints of blood. It's up to every one of us who is able to make up this staggering deficit. So call your Red Cross chapter or local blood donor center for an appointment to make your donation of blood for the armed forces. You will be doing your part in keeping America free. Listen for Hot Stone of the Death Squad in Murder and the Little Man with the Big Mustache at the same time next Thursday night. Your announcer is Harry Kramer. And remember, it's 2 hours of music, the nation's favorite songs, every Friday night on the CBS Radio Network.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hotstone of the Death Squad in the terrifying letter murder case. Tonight we again present the famous Hot Stone of the Death Squad, implacable manhunter of the Metropolitan Police, in one of his greatest investigations entitled The Terrifying Letter Murder Case, with Ethel Wilson as Lizzie Ackers and James Meehan as Jonas Caswell. And now, Inspector Hearthstone in the terrifying letter, murder case. The scene opens in a large office building as a strange-looking man stops before a door marked Jesse Caswell, public stenographer. The man opens the door, and we hear him saying,
"You Jesse Caswell?"
"Yes, I'm Miss Caswell."
"I got something I want you to type for me."
"I'm sorry, but it's after 8 and I can't accept any work tonight."
"Listen, Miss Caswell, how much do you usually get for typing out just a few lines?"
50 cents is my minimum charge, but I don't see...
Well, suppose I put this $50 bill on your desk and said it's yours, ma'am, for doing this little job.
$50? Well, that's a different thing. I'll put a piece of paper in my typewriter. All right. What is it you want me to type?
Start it off, to whom it may concern.
Go on. What next?
I've grown tired of life, and I've decided to end it all tonight. I hope my friends will understand and forgive.
I'll not type that kind of thing. I won't.
Do you see this gun, lady? You type what I say or else. Type it.
Don't point that revolver at me.
Type what I told you. Get going. And quit your squawking or I'll slap you in the mouth.
Here it is.
I'm not touching that letter. Put it on the desk.
Good.
Now sign your name to it.
No. No.
Here's a pen. Sign it. You won't get hurt.
What is this? What are you trying to do? I've signed it.
Now stay where you are.
Take that gun away. Oh, thank heaven you've come. Help me.
You. What are you doing here? No. No, don't kill me. Don't. Don't.
What? You're going to kill me, too. No. No, no.
And 30 minutes later, we see Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad on the murder scene with his assistant, Detective Sam Cook, as the hysterical scrub woman who found the two bodies is saying...
No, Inspector Hearthstone, I didn't hear no shots. I was on another floor cleaning.
You say your name is Lizzie Atters?
Yes, sir. I saw the lights on in Miss Caswell's office, so I opened the door. And I saw them two bodies. It's terrible, sir. It there makes me sick.
I understand, Lizzie. I'll go into the next room for a while. We'll talk to you later.
I'll be right in here.
Close the door, Sam.
Okay. Why'd you stop questioning her so suddenly, Inspector?
Because I think the silent evidence of these two dead bodies is more important at the moment.
Looks like the woman killed herself after writing a suicide note. See the gun? Still in her hand.
The woman didn't kill herself, Sam. She was murdered. That's a phony suicide note. And that gun was put in her hand after the killing.
You mean this dead man killed her?
Now, how could a dead man murder her, Sam? What happened is that both these people were murdered by a third person. Question is, who? It's a fantastic situation.
I think that scrub woman, Lizzie Actress, could have done it, do you?
Get her back in here, Sam.
Come in, Lizzie.
Yes, sir.
Lizzie, are you certain you didn't hear any shots?
I told you before I didn't, Inspector.
Oh, sorry, Lizzie, I forgot. What I meant was, did you see anyone leaving this office before you found the bodies?
If I had, I'd have told you. Say, I don't like the way you're sizing me up. If you're getting any idea about me, are you forgetting I called the cops myself?
Tell me, what do you know about this dead woman?
All I know is that her name is Jessie Caswell, and that she was a public stenographer, with all kinds of people coming in and out of her office.
And the sign on the door tells us that much.
Well, you asked me, didn't you?
Ever hear her quarreling with anyone?
I never heard Jessie Caswell fighting with no one. Only thing was...
Yes?
She told me some nut was trying to get money out of her, but claiming she was one of them missing heirs to a big fortune. Like you read about in the papers, Inspector Hearthstone. But I never seen him or heard his name.
Missing heir. Sam, turn that murdered man's body over.
There you are, Inspector.
Now, Lizzie, look at this murdered man's face carefully. You know him?
No. No, I don't know him from Adam.
That's odd.
What you getting at now?
His name is Adam Ackers. A known trigger man, just out from a 10-year stretch in prison. And your name is Lizzie Ackers. What's the connection? Quick, tell me.
Oh, he's my own stepson. But I swear I ain't seen him since before he went to prison. And I never had nothing to do with him before then, either.
That's another one for the Marines, Inspector Hearthstone. Come along with me, Lizzie.
Well, she may be telling the truth, Sam. Go and get on with your work, Lizzie.
I wouldn't have thought this of any cop, Inspector, believing a poor woman like me.
Protecting the poor is the duty of the police, Lizzie. Get along now.
Yes, Inspector.
Sam, get headquarters on the phone while I go through this desk drawer.
Hello, Smith. Inspector Hartstone wants to talk to you.
Hello, Smith. Phone every radio station at once.
Right, Inspector.
Have them announce that a pretty blonde woman, about 35, named Jessie Caswell, public stenographer, believed to be the heiress of long-dead Ezekiel Caswell, Canadian Copperman King, was found murdered in her office along with Adam Ackers, notorious gang killer, tonight.
I've got it down, Inspector Hartstone. What else?
Ask any relative or acquaintance of the murdered woman to communicate immediately with Hearthstone of the Death Squad.
That all?
Send a detail of men to Jesse Caswell's apartment to search for any letters or papers relating to the murder. Owen Smith.
Yes, Inspector Hearthstone?
Get a complete file together of the murdered woman's past life. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, what a bean you got for remembering things, Inspector. You knew straight off that dame was a missing heiress to all the copper mines in the world.
No, not at all, Sam. I found a carbon of a letter she wrote to a lawyer in her desk drawer. A man named Fielding.
What do you know?
Jesse foolishly thought the lawyer Fielding was trying to take her in when he wrote he believed she was the Caswell heiress. Fact is, Fielding is a top man in his profession.
Shall I look up his address, Inspector?
I know his address, Sam, and it's not far from here. Come along.
What about the scrub woman, Lizzie?
I haven't marked her off my list yet.
Why, Inspector Hearthstone, come in. It's nice to see you.
And to see you, Mr. Fielding. What brought Detective Cook and me, Fielding, is an amazing murder. A pretty blonde woman named Jessie Caswell.
Yes, I just heard a news flash on the radio. She was a queer character.
We found a carbon copy of a letter to you in her desk.
You know, Inspector Hearthstone, I'm certain that woman is the heiress to the Ezekiel Caswell fortune. But when I sent one of my men to see her about it, she practically threw him out of the office. Said we were trying to play some sort of phony missing heiress game to get money out of her.
When you were really trying to put a great fortune in her hands.
Exactly. Then I wrote her and she accused me of being a confident swindler. I guess that's the copy of her letter to me that you found.
How positive are you, Fielding, that Jessie Caswell was the heiress to that big fortune?
Just about 99%. One of the soundest legal firms in Canada sent the case to me. Old Ezekiel Caswell died about 25 years ago. He was 80 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in all these years, nobody has turned up to claim the estate. So the time came to do something.
Did they advertise in the American papers for the missing heirs?
Yes, but with no results. That's when they engaged my help. And as I said, we concluded Jessie was the missing heiress. But she'd have no part of us.
Well, I guess that's all I need now, Fielding.
I wish I could help you more, Inspector.
You've supplied me with a magnificent motive for Jessie Caswell's murder. That is, if I can find the murderer. And in this case, it's not easy. Well, Sam, let's run along. Good night, Fielding.
Good night, Inspector.
If you don't mind my cutting in, Mr. Fielding.
Not at all, Detective Cook.
I'm wondering why you didn't ask the Inspector how Jessie Caswell was murdered.
Why,
it may be because Mr. Fielding is devoid of curiosity, Sam. Good night again, Fielding.
Good night.
Hope I didn't put my foot in, Inspector Hearthstone, but it just ain't natural for a guy not to ask how somebody was pumped off, unless he already knows.
Fielding is a man of good reputation, Sam.
So were plenty of others who got the chair, Inspector.
Let's get back to headquarters. Our radio appeal may have brought results.
Inspector, you're on the beam.
Yes?
There are two parties waiting outside asking for you. Say they got all the answers about the murdered public stenographer, Jesse Caswell.
Ask them in, Sam.
Come in, Mr. Barnes.
I am Angus Barnes, Inspector Hearthstone. Meet my wife, Sarah Caswell Barnes.
Sarah Caswell Barnes?
Caswell was her maiden name, Inspector.
We just flew in from Canada, Inspector, and we heard your radio call by accident at the airport terminal.
You've got the wrong slant on that murdered woman. Jessie Caswell is not old Ezekiel Caswell's heiress.
Well, what makes you so sure of that, Mr. Barnes?
Because my wife Sarah here is the heiress. She is Ezekiel Caswell's granddaughter.
Then why didn't you claim the fortune before this?
Because we didn't know there was one, Inspector.
The first we heard of it was a week ago, Inspector Hearthstone. A friend in Canada told us he'd seen an ad in the newspaper looking for Grandfather Ezekiel's heir.
So we hustled on to New York right away to find out about it. The lady, the public stenographer who was murdered, was only the old man's niece.
And your wife, being the granddaughter, would naturally be the real heiress, first in line.
That's it. Just to make sure of things, I brought my birth certificate with me. Here it is, Inspector. I was born in Ottawa, Canada, 1921.
Strange that Canadians would come to New York to claim the fortune of the Canadian-born Ezekiel Caswell.
What? Well, we thought this the place to come.
May I have your birth certificate for a few days, Mrs. Barnes?
Oh, couldn't you take a picture of it instead, Inspector? I don't like to leave it out of my hands. My mother always kept it in the family Bible.
Sam, here's an order. Have this birth certificate photographed and return the original to Mrs. Barnes.
Okay, Chief.
If that birth certificate is legitimate, Mr. Barnes, your wife probably is the heiress to a great copper fortune. Since Jesse Caswell is dead.
What do you mean by that, Inspector Hartstone?
I mean you and your wife have a motive for murder.
Motive for murder?
And I mean, too, I have no proof you two just arrived here from Canada by plane.
But we did.
Of course we did.
We'll have you completely checked, Mr. and Mrs. Barnes. I'll tell you frankly, your story doesn't ring true.
Here's your birth certificate, Mrs. Barnes.
Give it to me, not her, Detective Cook.
Sam, please have Mr. and Mrs. Barnes taken to the Elton Hotel and made comfortable there.
But listen here, you can't arrest us.
You can't do this to us.
I'm merely detaining you. Good night.
Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Barnes. I'll have Officer Smith take him over, Inspector.
Hello, operator. Give me Officer Smith, quick. Smith, Detective Sam Cook is turning a couple named Barnes over to you. When you get them outside, have the boys snap a few good pictures of them and send them to the chief of police at Ottawa, Canada.
The Barnes are on their way, Inspector. What's the idea of taking pictures of the birth certificate and holding Barnes and his wife?
One of the signatures on Sarah Barnes' birth certificate was written with green ink.
Oh, the same color Jesse Caswell's phony suicide note was signed with.
And the same color, Sam, that was in the murdered gangster's fountain pen when he was shot to death beside Jesse Caswell.
Wow. I guess that's beginning to tie things together nice.
Come in.
Telegram for Inspector Hearthstone.
Oh, thanks. To Inspector Hearthstone of the Death Squad. Regarding radio broadcast for relatives or friends of murdered Jesse Caswell. I am dead woman's brother. Arrive your office tomorrow a.m. Signed, Jonas Caswell.
Brother, where does it come from, Inspector?
Montreal, Canada, Sam, and I have an idea it will give us the line that leads to our killer.
Artstone of the Death Squad and the terrifying letter murder case continues in just a moment. America is really strong for CBS Radio's two-hour parade of music every Friday night on most of these same stations. Hits from the big shows. Music from vaudeville's best days. Tin Pan Alley's best numbers, new and old. That's what you have waiting for you tomorrow night. The orchestras of Alfredo Antonini, Ray Block, and Paul Weston play the tune. Earl Wrightson, Jimmy Carroll, and Georgie Price head three great singing casts. Robert Q. Lewis throws open his waxworks, all bringing you two solid hours of pleasure tomorrow night on CBS Radio. Don't miss a minute. And now, back to Hearthstone of the Death Squad and the terrifying letter murder case. Inspector Hearthstone's investigation of the incredible double murder of Jesse Caswell, public stenographer, and Adam Acker's gangster in her office, has revealed this. Jesse was apparently heiress to the vast mining fortune left by her uncle in Canada. But Sarah Barnes and her husband appear in Hearthstone's office declaring Sarah is the heiress, which makes them highly suspect. Just as Inspector Hearthstone ordered the Barnes held, he received a wire stating that the murdered woman has a brother, Jonas, and he is coming to see Hearthstone. It is now the following morning, and while awaiting Jonas Caswell's arrival, the inspector is called on one of the greatest sources of information known to the police, a stool pigeon. Detective Sam Cook is ushering one in now, saying,
"Here's Bozo Sparks, Inspector."
"Morning, Bozo. I suppose Detective Cook told you what I wanted to see you about?"
"Yeah, sure, about Jesse Caswell's murder."
"Got any ideas, Bozo, on how Adam Ackers, the trigger man, got into her office and was killed beside her?"
"Funny, ain't it? After pumping so many off himself at so much ahead, Hacky got himself bumped off.
Well, somebody paid him to put the heat on Jessie Caswell, to make her type and sign a suicide note in her office. And then that person killed him to eliminate all evidence.
Well, I'm not saying I know anything personal, Inspector Hawthorne, but the grapevine talk is, well...
Get on with it, Bozo. Remember, the only reason you're walking the streets free is that you're useful to us.
Okay, okay. Well, as I was saying, the talk is some guy from Canada offered Ackers $5,000 to bump off the Jesse Caswell dame, forgetting his price for a trigger job was only $100. And Ackie naturally took the guy up.
What was the Canadian man's name, Bozo?
If it was a choice between telling you and a chair, Inspector, I couldn't answer that. I don't know.
Thank you, Bozo. That'll be all.
I'll be seeing you, Inspector. Why?
Oh, it wasn't much, Sam, but it helps. Hearthstone speaking. All right, send the man in. Sam, the murdered woman's brother is here. Let him in.
Okay, this way, mister. I'm Detective Cook.
I'd like to see Inspector Hearthstone, please.
I'm Inspector Hearthstone, and you're Jonas Caswell.
How do you do, Inspector?
How do you do?
You got my wire? Who killed my sister, Jessie?
Well, we're not quite ready to make an arrest yet, Mr. Caswell.
We got a couple of pretty hot suspects.
That's encouraging, Detective Cook. Thing I can't understand is why anybody would want to murder Jessie. She was just a public stenographer. Why would they want to kill her?
The enormous Ezekiel Caswell fortune. Why else? Jessie was the heiress, wasn't she?
My sister Jessie wasn't heiress to anything, Inspector Hearthstone.
What's that?
Our uncle, old Ezekiel Caswell, died years ago. I always understood he'd left most of his great copper fortune to a lot of charities.
When did you last see your murdered sister, Mr. Caswell?
Matter of 10 years, I'd say. Back when she left Canada and came to New York to open up a public stenographer's office. But take my word for it, she was no heiress, Inspector.
You're her brother and ought to know. I suppose you want to claim your sister's body.
Yes. That's why I really came here. Would it be asking too much if Detective Cook helped me make arrangements? I don't know too much about New York.
Oh, gladly, Mr. Caswell.
Hold on me, sir.
Well, before you leave, Mr. Caswell, you asked who killed your sister.
I understand you're not sure yet.
We have a man and wife under arrest this minute.
What?
Mr. and Mrs. Angus Barnes. The wife, Sarah, claims she's the granddaughter of Ezekiel Caswell and heiress to his millions.
Angus Barnes? And Sarah Barnes? Oh, that's ridiculous. They're imposters. They have to be.
People like that often turn up, Mr. Caswell, when the lure of a missing heiress to a fabulous fortune is broadcast. I'm glad to have met you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Inspector. Detective Cook. Remember, I'll depend on you, as you promised.
Well, Inspector, I guess he's got something about Barnes and his wife being imposters. The Ottawa police just reported that their whole story, including that birth certificate, looks strictly phony so far.
Sam, our next move is to get back to our first suspect in this case.
You mean that scrub woman, Lizzie Ackers? The stepmother of the gangster was killed along with Jesse Caswell?
This report from Officer Smith reveals definitely that far from not seeing her gangster stepson, Adam Ackers, for years, he was actually seen walking up to that same office building with Lizzie every night. We'll hop into the car and go and talk to Lizzie now. Don't tell me again you weren't lying, Lizzie.
Well, suppose my stepson Adam Ackers was walking into the office building with me. What difference does that make, Inspector?
You are going to tell me the truth or be jailed this minute.
Oh, if I didn't tell you everything, it was because I was scared. Oh, what do you want to know, Inspector Hearthstone?
I want a description of the man or woman who paid your stepson $5,000 to force the murdered Jessie Caswell to type a suicide note just before she was killed. And you are going to tell me.
All right, Inspector. I'll tell you.
Now, with all his evidence assembled, Inspector Hearthstone is ready to close in on the murderer of Jessie Caswell, a pretty blonde public stenographer and missing heiress, and the trigger man, Adam Ackers. The scene is police headquarters, and we hear Inspector Hearthstone saying to Detective Sam Cook...
Now, Sam, watch this.
Right, Inspector.
Take this folder. It contains the death chair evidence we wanted.
Yes, sir.
And hand me each piece instantly I ask you for it.
Gotcha.
Now, you've got all these people outside?
Every suspect, Inspector. Each one in a separate room.
Good. Bring in Angus Barnes and his wife, Sarah.
Mr. and Mrs. Barnes, come in.
What do you want with us, Inspector Hostone?
Yes, what?
You'll soon find out. Our first police report from Ottawa, Canada, implied you were both imposters. Then we sent your pictures there.
Our pictures?
Sam, bring in Mr. Jonas Caswell.
Jonas Caswell, come in now.
What's that? Jonas Caswell? Well, whoever said we were imposters lied.
Slow down, Mrs. Barnes. Here's Jonas Caswell, Inspector.
You? Angus and Sarah, here. I thought you were dead.
You thought they were dead, Jonas?
That's why I told you anybody claiming to be Angus and Sarah Barnes were imposters, Inspector. They were supposed to be lost at sea. And good riddance.
Then you think, Jonas, that they killed your sister, Jessie Caswell?
You're a better judge of that than I, Inspector.
Why, you...
Quiet, Angus. Now, Jonas, why do you say the death of these two people, Angus and Sarah Barnes, would have been a good riddance?
Look up their record in Canada, Inspector. One dirty business after another. Terrible reputation.
You're a liar.
Quiet, Mrs. Barnes. Now, Sam...
Yeah, Inspector.
Give me the second police report from Ottawa on Angus and Sarah Barnes.
Yes, sir.
It shows both you, Angus, and you, Sarah, to be people of uncertain character.
Then the cops in Ottawa are liars.
Sure, they're liars. Give me that report.
This is the last time I'll tell you and your wife to shut up, Barnes.
Now give me that letter found in the murdered woman's flat. Thanks, Sam.
That's the letter Jonas Caswell sent his sister, right, Inspector?
Jonas, this letter advises your sister, Jessie, that a man named Fielding, a lawyer, who approached her about being the heiress of Ezekiel Caswell's fortune, was trying to take advantage of her. In short, to stay clear of him.
That's correct. Fielding was trying to swindle her. My sister Jessie was only a public stenographer. She wasn't any too smart.
No proper protection for a brother to give his sister, Jonas. But now, Sam, bring in the office scrubwoman, Lizzie Ackers.
Who's she, Inspector?
One moment, please, Jonas.
You want me now, Inspector?
Lizzie, there are two men in this room. Look at them carefully.
I am.
Was this man, Angus Barnes, the one who paid your trigger man stepson $5,000 to force a suicide note from the public stenographer, Jessie Caswell, before she was murdered?
No, Inspector. I told you that before. It's this guy over here.
Ah. I wanted to be sure, Lizzie. Well, Jonas?
Know what, Hartstone? You're more clever than I gave you credit for.
Hands up, Jonas Caswell.
Don't be dramatic, Detective Cook. I know the game is up. Yes, I killed my sister, Jessie. Took a plane from Montreal. Did the job, flew back, and then wired you, Hostel.
Telling you, Inspector, this guy's the coolest murderer we ever took in.
When a $50 million fortune is at stake, you've got to be cool.
The electric chair isn't, Jonas Caswell. I arrest you for the murder of your sister, Jessie Caswell. And I'll give you credit for supplying me with one of the nastiest murders in my career. Take him, Sam, and charge him.
Who gets the $50 million, Inspector? Old Ezekiel Caswell's fortune.
Well, that's not our affair, Sam. But poor Jessie Caswell was never the missing heiress. She was murdered because her brother mistakenly thought she was.
Right again, Hostone. My mistake. I wanted to get the fortune instead of letting my sister get it. I, as nephew, was next in line. I didn't know Sarah Barnes, the old man's granddaughter here, was still alive. Ha! So she gets the money. Would have gotten it whether I killed Jessie or not.
Yes. It looks like Sarah Caswell Barnes gets the fortune whether she deserves it or not. And you, Jonas, get the electric chair.
And thus, Hearthstone of the Death Squad writes solved in the files of the terrifying letter murder case. The part of Inspector Hearthstone was played by Alfred Shirley, written by Frank Hummert, directed by Henry Howard, and is a presentation of CBS Radio. Here is a special announcement. Beginning this coming Sunday, Hearthstone of the Death Squad will be heard every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen this Sunday for Hearthstone of the Death Squad in The Fabulous Engagement Ring Murder.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.